Let me ask you something. Have you realized that what happens in your mind actually shows up in your reality? Are you living your dream life or your worry life? Welcome to the Dream Team Podcast, where we will reverse engineer what our wonderful and successful guests have done to create a life that they love. So you can too.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good wherever you are in the world. Welcome back to the Dream Team Life Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Hamilton-Smith, and today we have with us our manifestation expert, Marissa Manrique. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, my dear Lisa. Just enjoying our wonderful experience here in this podcast. You know, I really love doing this.
You really do. We've just had
It makes my day. Just, you know, being able to help people and just being able to see these stories and that people share with us. And today we have a really powerful one.
Yeah, today was an exceptional story. Now, we like to bring you different types of people living their dreams. Some people have had rougher times than others. Some of them are very successful. Some of them are just living very simple dreams that they love. And everybody, if you're living a dream, a life you love, no matter what that is, it is super magnificently wonderful. Yes. But this lady who we've just interviewed and her daughter are a very special case. Yes. We don't normally do two people on a podcast. Mm-hmm. But on Monday, we had Nina and her daughter, Celeste. And they came with a very specific story. If you were listening, you will hear that Nina actually managed to escape almost being the victim of an honor killing. Mm-hmm. And she then went on from there to actually end up, unfortunately, in a very unhappy and domestically violent, controlling, abusive relationship. For many years.
23 years.
Yeah. And she has this beautiful daughter who went through all of that with her and who's then gone on to rebuild her life to become a super successful dentist and who is such a beautiful young lady. Yeah, and so they both came on to talk about their stories and how, in Nina's case, how she had got through, how she made her way through almost being killed and living under incredibly bad pressure from a violent partner.
From very young age. And for those of you who don't know what an honor killing is, I didn't know. And apparently in the Indian culture, women are sometimes very disregarded and the family didn't want her. And something, I don't know, something specifically happened and the father wanted to send her back to India to have her killed because just to preserve the family name.
Honor. Yeah, you've dishonored the family. It could be something like you kissed a boy and you kissed the wrong boy. It doesn't even need to be anything particularly significant, but you dishonored the family and the penalty is death.
Death. So I was really surprised because I've met Indian people. I just didn't know much of the culture. And I didn't know that happened. And she said that that happens every day in some part of the world. There is an honor kill. And that really struck me very, very hard. And because she was the daughter of this family and she was mistreated always just because she was a girl.
Yes.
And he was treated like a slave.
Yes, like a second class citizen or third class citizen. I think her case was even worse. Yes. Used as a slave, treated as, you know, a lesser than person. And that, how, if you meet her today, how this amazing woman stands in front of us and how she is becoming an international speaker. And she now speaks around the world on many, many stages and tells her story to inspire women, to help them to realize that they can escape whatever demons they're facing. Yeah. To escape any limitations is incredible. And what amazing woman to talk to. So let's go and look at the principles. Let's break it up as we do and look at the key points of what we've learned from Nina and Celeste. And the first thing that we discovered, actually one of the biggest things, one of the biggest points is that We asked her how she kept going, and particularly now, because she still has to keep her identity and her whereabouts hidden. She's still in danger. You know, her family is still out there. She speaks out about things which are not supposed to be spoken out about in the Indian community she's from. Therefore, she's at risk. So I said, how, Nina, do you do that? And her answer was that the mission is so important, it enables her to override the fear.
Yeah.
And that made me realize that if we all need a mission, that's so important that we override the fear. And that's actually one of the driving principles of living a life you love. That what you're doing is so important to you. It doesn't need to be world impact significant, but just so important to you that you can override the fear of that comes up, the obstacles, the things. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the kind of just use that as an anchor. So instead of being anchored by fear, use that bigger mission. So that has to be bigger. And you know, Lisa, now that you say that, I remember something that I was thinking during the interview that I wanted to talk about is she found a way to love her life and be not grateful yet, but she did find a way to just survive. She says that she was mistreated since she was like 6 years old, and she only had a mattress in her room. Yeah. And the only thing that she could do is just read. So she read anything and everything that she could get her hands onto. And so she just would bring it to her room, and I assume she will hide it underneath that bed, that mattress, and read. And that is the way she was able to understand that what was happening to her was wrong. And this is such an important message, because we talked about it during the interview. So how many other women don't know that it's wrong? It's just that they are given this miserable life because they are being mistreated. And they think because of the culture that that's the way it is.
That's all it is. Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
You know, and the men as well, because her father was raised in that culture. And she was able, she said that she's in the process of forgiving them, but she does understand that she doesn't blame him either, which is, oh my God, how are you able to do that?
That's
because
incredible.
He understands
that
they don't know better.
Yes.
You know, her father, her mother, her brothers are still might be looking for her. Just they were brought into that culture and they didn't have the access of information that she managed to get her hands on and understand that what they were doing was wrong. Mm. Imagine that. So how do you have the strength to, you know, surpass all these people and survive?
Well, it's interesting. It struck me in talking to Nina that she was somebody with, again, as we often find, drive. She had a self-propulsion. Despite everything that was around her, she was looking for answers. She was looking for a way out. She had an instinct that this was not how things should be, which caused her to be resourceful and read and learn and watch, which proved to her things were not as they should be. You know. And she was lucky, I think, even though she was given access to friends at school, and she went to good schools apparently, and she actually went, well, they're not living how I live. Why is this? You know, and so she had an inquisitive mind. She had an open mind, and a mind that led her to believe things could be better. And that's that glimmer of hope we've often heard from other guests, where, you know, if you go like, there's no hope, there can be no hope. But even if you go, even if you are going, it's really hard, it's almost impossible, but you go, it's almost impossible. It's not impossible for things to change. Yeah. Then at least there's a glimmer, there's a chink of light. It's that blue gap in the cloud for the sunlight to come through.
Yeah. And you know, I'm also, before we go to the next key, I'm noticing something else very important. Where was her focus? Do you realize?
On being resourceful and finding a way through.
Yeah. So it wasn't on the pain.
Yes, it wasn't on the
maybe
suffering.
Sometime it was, you know.
Yeah.
But it wasn't on the, this is so wrong. Why is this happening to me? Why am I here? I'm sure she must have had some moments like that, but her main focus was this, there is another way. There is another way, and I have to find my way there.
Exactly.
And she did say, when she was beat up by her father so hard that she didn't have a space in her skin that wasn't bruised.
Yes.
But she knew that if because her father was sending her back to India, she knew that if she got to the plane, she would die. Mm. You know, and that was her focus, not on the pain, right? Not on, oh, why this
guy in the United Kingdom, whatever it took, whatever.
Yeah,
it
so
took,
I have
not
to
getting on
here.
That plane.
Yeah, so that's why, yeah, and that's why she got the strength to run away. So that's why this is exactly why focus is so important.
Yes,
because it will get you out of anywhere, the most simple situation, or the most hardest situation.
Yes.
And it's very important to understand that, because when you don't go through an experience that's hard and shaking you to the core, it's very easy to let go. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to just not see quite the limits and just have no focus, because there's nothing pushing you away from the bad.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And if you don't, the pull to the you know, that pull that you have to feel to your mission or to your goal is not strong enough, you know, the push from the bad won't be either. So you have to be aware and purposely, is that the word, focus on the result that you want to achieve.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense, because that's so important. That's what actually focus means. Yes. You know, you have to focus on your goal. You have to focus on your dream. Oh, yeah, okay. But if you haven't been through something that hard, it doesn't feel so important. It doesn't feel so intense, because where you are is just regular, normal. Since you're not in the floor, you know, beat up, and knowing that your last breath, that might be your last experience with freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a very strong story, but most people haven't been through that. So I want really to explain that you can use focus, and you don't need to go through an experience like that. But just understand, why is it so important to always be focused on the results and where you want to go and what you want to achieve, instead of the pain.
Exactly. And if you actually think about, if you're trying to drive down a dark road and you put the headlights on, where do you point the headlights? Yes. You point them where you want to go, because if you try to drive down a dark country lane with your headlights pointing into the trees, you will crash into the trees.
Yes.
So it is the same thing.
Very good analogy.
The lights need to point, your eyes, the lights, your intention, your goal, everything needs to point towards where you want to go. Focus on where you want to be.
Yeah. Even if you go through the painful experience or the hurt or the suffering, you are allowed to do that, as long as you know that you have to go back to the focus.
Exactly. It's okay to fall off the road, you know, go and pee against a tree or something. As long as you come back on the road, put your headlights back on and keep driving to your destination, you are allowed to get off. But without the focus, you will go off into the woods and get lost, and then you won't find your way back to the road.
So great example.
Got to do that.
Very good. You know, very simple way to understand it. Very good example, Lisa.
Yeah. So moving on. Now, another thing that enabled Nina to get through, and in her case, we're saying get through because obviously her life was to live a life that she loves. She had to get through a life that was very, very difficult. Now, some of us are lucky not to have gone through that. But it's the same principles applies, whether you're just trying to get through or you're trying to elevate yourself to living a life with passion. You know, the levels may be different, but it's still the same thing. So she celebrated every day. She actually said that now she celebrates every single day, because she is somebody who has to keep her identity secret and her whereabouts. So she knows her life is, she's so privileged to have a life that she loves now. She's so privileged to be free.
In a nice, safe
to
space,
be free, because she was not free. She was effectively a slave for so many years, that she celebrates every single day of her life, and she allows herself to do lovely things. And how many of us do that? How many of you listening, you have comfortable life, very comfortable life, okay life, not so great life, whichever category you're in, do you celebrate what you do have every day? And I bet we don't, because we forget. We're like, we're busy, I'll celebrate tomorrow. Well, there might not be a tomorrow. We need
there
to
might
celebrate
not be a tomorrow.
Our life.
Yeah, and yeah. even in this pandemic, it's yeah. a moment to celebrate. You know, and yeah. and you know, my husband had a problem sleeping, so he went and made an effort to buy like the best bed he could. Yeah. So you know, it's been a couple of years now, and then every so often that my little boy comes to my bed, he goes, "Oh, so good."
Oh, his
beds are good as well, but I think mine is bigger. You know, it's always the parents' bed. As you go, and I really think, oh no, you know what? Thank you for that, because I really have to appreciate that we are able to do this. So many people don't.
Yes.
Something yeah. that we take for granted, just, yeah. you know, a warm bed.
I know. And a microphone and a computer and to talk to you in Peru.
And internet now.
Okay,
you know, and all across, you know, across the world. You're all the way in the UK. I'm here in Peru.
And our Indian listeners, actually, which we discovered, yes. we have stats on who's listened to us. And our second most popular country that listens to our podcast is India. So welcome everyone in India listening. Thank you for listening to us. We really appreciate you. Yeah. And we appreciate the Brits, and we appreciate the Peruvians, and we appreciate the United States.
Yeah.
And everybody else. So Zambia, of course, because of one of our guests was in Zambia.
Oh, yeah.
One of Zambians watching us. Yes. So, moving on. So, I've got a bit of a tickly throat tonight. Oh, and my dog's joining him. So, her message, Nina's message, was to give others hope.
Oh.
And having a message, having a purpose also gives you a life you love. Because there is something about what, you know, just doing things for yourself at some point gets boring. Like, imagine you're a billionaire and you can, and this actually, this happens to billionaires quite a lot. They've achieved everything. You know, they might have worked incredibly hard. They've got lots of money. And why do they usually end up doing philanthropy? I mean, they do, nearly all of them in the end, because it's the only way to get something else is to give back. It's to share your wisdom or your money. In their case, they've got...
You'll never get... Yeah, you might run out of ideas to spend money on.
Yeah.
Or even if you spend money in so many things that you might not get that feeling, but then you'll never be bored of giving something to someone else
back.
And helping.
It makes you... It makes your soul happy. It makes your soul sing. And so, and you don't have to be a billionaire to give back. You know, Nina isn't a billionaire, but she feels that she has wisdom and she has a message and she wants to give others hope that they can get by, they can get through. And, you know, and that gives you a life you love. If you can find something that you can share, that's also one of the keys. And let's have, what else we got here? One of the things that she said, which is interesting, which is not so much a principle, but just I want to repeat it, is that fear is a very disabling factor in your life.
Oh, yes, that's really good. And it's really true. I think most people can relate to that. In some sense or another, or in some level, fear does enable you.
Mm.
Because you find this, you know, it could even paralyze you physically. It could block you and you don't even know.
Yes.
So you don't even see what's beyond that blockage. Sometimes you don't even see the blockage.
Yes.
Because of fear.
Yes, it's so true. And it also like numbs your responsibility. You can't actually do what you need to do when you're in fear. It freezes your brain, your neural pathways and all the other things. And it, like, I know when I get scared, I mean, I'm like, you know, I become like the man without a brain. It literally doesn't function. So that was something we, you know, you have to be aware of. And therefore, being afraid actually is something we have to have tools in our toolkit to deal with, because we all get afraid. It's a natural thing. And no matter how brilliant, clever, or whatever our circumstances, we will be afraid. The fear levels will change. And, you know, and what that fear is about will change depending on where we are in life. But it will always
be the level.
Yeah.
On the level, because if it's out of balance, because fear,
excessive.
Fear is actually a very important tool. You know, when little kids are about 2 years old, they start walking and then they can walk into a pool. They can walk into the streets because they don't feel fear because they haven't had experience enough. So fear, sorry about the noise. Fear is actually a tool that alerts you for danger.
Yes.
You know,
it's
and
useful.
Then when you, Yeah. So when you feel fear, you have three ways of response. So either you freeze, either you run, or you fight.
Yeah.
So that's the response to fear. And you get this all this adrenaline rush and everything. But then if that fear is out of balance and it's bigger than your strength and your courage, that is when it becomes a problem. Right. So it's okay to feel fear. It's even useful. So, and if it's in balance and the other side, your power is bigger, fear will still even push you forward. The problem is when fear is out of balance. And then it's when it freezes you.
Yes, and if you and you feel frozen, that's when you feel like you've had your brain removed and you can't do anything. And
Something like
basically it's just been chopped out of my head, basically. Yeah, I know the feeling well. And actually as an ex-sportsman, having competed, this was a massive problem for my sport. Very, very dangerous. I mean, you can die doing it. It's an extreme sport, riding cross-country on horses. And I had to deal with that every single time I went into the start box. I wanted to feel, I felt sick. I would always question, what the hell am I doing? I went through this every single time. And I know I've spoken to other riders and I wasn't the only one. Some people weren't like that, but I was one of those that did it because I loved it, but I actually was afraid. I didn't get rid of the fear. I simply chose to override the fear with the joy of what I was going to do. And at the, and I knew that at the end of that ride, if I get round in one piece, I was thinking it was going to be such a high. It was going to be such an incredible experience.
Yeah. So do you see, fear can push you through, you know, can take you to that level if it's in balance and it doesn't overcome you and it breaks you and freezes you, as you say.
Yeah, but it just once. It only happened once. But I was actually, I had to phone a friend in the start box. I literally had my phone. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm like, I'm freaking out. I can't do it. I didn't. It was something about this particular course, and I was really freaking out. And I wasn't feeling my horse was right that day. And I had to phone a friend and borrow his belief, which we do as coaches. We, you know, that's what you do. It's why you have a coach. You borrow their belief. Someone else has to believe in you until you can believe in you. And he said, don't be silly. You've done this a million times. You're absolutely fine. Go and ride. And so I kicked out of that start box, literally kick, closing my eyes virtually to the first fence. And once I got over the first fence, the fear was gone and I came back into my normality. But I got to the freeze. I'd got, the fear got out of balance and I was actually not able to work. I'd lost the plot for a few minutes. So it's just interesting to know that even as somebody who'd done thousands and thousands of competitions, that can still happen to me. Yeah.
Of course.
So, so what else was really interesting here? We were talking about mindset with Nina, and we were talking about that the mindset won't change unless you want it to.
Big one, yes.
Massive principle there.
Massive,
You'd like to talk a bit more about that.
Yes, it's massive because, you know, that is where you understand that... Sorry, there's life going on behind my door.
They all want to be on the podcast, I can tell.
That's when you understand why all the mantras and the incantations and I don't know what other tools you use to set your mind, it won't work until you want it to work. Because when you want it to work, then you'll find the will to make it happen. You'll find the will to work through the hard parts, and you'll find the will to trust in your beliefs and to trust in your inner guidance and to do the work where you are enough. So you have to want it. That's why, for example, when you have to work with addiction, why so many people's, you know, family put the person in rehab, and then they, once they are done, they go back into drugs. So the people that have actually made a difference and transformed their life in alcoholism, in drug addiction, is the one that want to do the work. Because it's not going to be easy, but you have to want it. And the same with people that don't have, as we were saying earlier, such a massive and hard story. If you're just a regular normal Joe, which is perfectly fine, if you don't have that need to survive, if you don't hate where you are enough to make the effort to come out, you know, people don't do the work. And that's why it's so hard in normalcy, you know, people that have regular job and a regular income
and quite
which
comfortable,
they are satisfied with
ish, you know, comfortable
and quite comfortable. Yeah. So what is the difference? Because I don't want people to think that I'm judging them. If you are there and you are loving your life and are at peace and that is the best you can have,
then that's very successful for them.
Stay there. Yeah. That's the best place you have to be, as long as you are at peace. But if you are there and always complaining about your boss and about politics and about your car and
lack of money and not enough money for the bill,
yeah, and you're always having that fight in your head, then it's because you're not meant to be there. Or you have to make peace that where you are is the place or the result of the work that you're willing to achieve or the work that you're willing to put in. So if you are happy with that, that's not mediocrity, as long as you love your life. So that's what I tell people. So it's, I think it's, you don't have to be like the Tony Robbins of the world, even though he's great, or if that is your mission. You don't have to be, I don't know, a big sports person unless you really want to. So if you want, you're dreaming about, I don't know, being Tom Brady, but then you don't put on the effort. And so you're always feeling frustrated of why you are not able to achieve it. Well, you have to do the work. Tom Brady, it wasn't easy. You know, I saw his interview with Oprah the other day and I was really, really surprised. So, but if you are not willing to do the work, maybe, and you're comfortable of letting go of the idea that you want to be Tom Brady, and you finally accept that you're not willing to do the work, and then you are happy and at peace and finally able to enjoy your life, that's great.
It's about self-awareness. It's definitely
it's self-awareness.
What really matters to you? I mean, lots of people will say, oh, I want to be a billionaire. And then you look at how hard some of the people who have achieved billionaire status have worked. And you go, well, really, do you want to be like on call 23 hours a day, fly around the world, 400 hours a week? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, no, I just want to be with my family and my dog. Well, then you probably don't want to be a billionaire.
Exactly. That is just a fake, a fantasy. So, for example, imagine if Nina sat in her room crying and why is this happening to me, and I, or for example, being able or being exposed to this other culture, you know, in good school with other people with from other backgrounds, from not from India, and seeing them and you know, sitting back in her room wanting something but not doing anything to achieve it, do you think it would have had the same result and now be like a superhero just sharing her message of hope?
Of course not. And in fact, her whole message is that she has freed herself, and she freed herself not just from a captive husband and an abuser, but she also freed herself and found a purpose, freed herself and fell in love with herself. Is a key principle of living a life you love, because the only person that you can actually really, really, well, you have to love first, and you must love.
The most important person, yes.
The most important is yourself. If you'd like to expand on that.
Yes, you know, as we were saying, we were talking earlier, it's the most important, and that's actually one of an idea that I never quite, I knew it in some sense, but I never quite put it that way until we had this interview with this lady in Zimbabwe, you know, Camila Melendez, that she actually said, and she's very young, she's in her 20s, she said, well, the most important relationship you have to take care of is the relationship with you. You know, oh my God, yes.
Very,
you know,
very well.
To become your best friend, to become your biggest cheerleader,
yes.
To become your biggest supporter, right? And do the work, because it's true, because I think I've mentioned this before, the time that I finally was aware and heard myself putting myself down and answered the opposite, and you know, and confronting myself, no, what about if you are enough? What about if you are meant to do this? And I felt the transformation. And from then on, my results have started to be different, because I changed from being my biggest sabotager. I don't know if you say that the other way, to my biggest supporter.
Saboteur, we'd say.
Yeah, my biggest saboteur, and become my biggest cheerleader. And it is something that I practice until today, because, you know, my life is not perfect. It is perfect, but it's not perfect at the same time.
Perfect, you know, imperfect.
Yes, and there are some times that I love everything, and there are some times that I can kill everybody here in my house, you know. And so, but as we were talking about before the show, is just being happy even when you're sad. Because I used to be sad even when I was happy. So that transformation, and I think Nina must have had her own way of doing that, you know, being seeing the bigger picture, even though she was in a tiny room and being mistreated by her own parents.
Yes,
you know,
and so then her husband, you know,
yeah. If you don't have the strength to fall in love with yourself, you have to do the work. There's no other way to survive. You have to do the work. Oh, but then why do you want to survive? You know, why do you want to go through all the process? Just because you have to be here. You have to, you know, if you had a choice between suffering all the time and living life to the fullest, if you had a glimpse of idea that you could build the best life ever with the most simple things. So it doesn't have to be, you know, Oprah Winfrey, Jennifer Aniston big. You know, it can be with the where you are right now, just choosing to love every single thing that you have and appreciate it. Which one would you prefer?
It's an interesting choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, but was it hard for you to feel it? Was it hard for you to understand it? To actually really connect with the love your life no matter what? Because that is very interesting. Most people, you know, will listen to me and go, oh, yeah, she's on a high.
Yeah, and that is obviously, I mean, I think that's where a lot of people who aren't ready to begin to change their mindset and do any kind of mindset transformation work, that is what they hear. They just think that people are on some sort of strange, crazy high that you know, that they'll come down off at some point. And yeah. And I mean, it is important to say that even mindset coaches have bad days. Even law of attraction coaches have bad days. You know, so the difference is that how they can manage it and how they can come back. And as we talked about focus, how they can pull themselves back onto the focus, which is whatever their mission or their purpose is. Mm-hmm. Whereas somebody who doesn't have that focus and hasn't clarified those tools and got the right toolkit will, again, going back to what I said before, get lost in the woods, go off the road and get lost in the woods.
Yeah.
And talking about getting lost in the woods or not, I have to say, what an amazing young woman Celeste was, Nina's daughter.
Yeah.
Obviously, a lady who's gone through so much in her early years. And you know, we asked her how she coped with watching her mother be abused. And she said, you know, she wanted to tell her mother to run and leave, but it wasn't her place. And just actually sort of having the ability to go through that, I mean, it has had an effect on her. But she has turned that pain into power. That's what definitely Celeste has done. So this young lady could have said, oh, my life is messed up, so I'm going to go and do drugs and alcohol and crazy things, right? Instead, she told me that, you know, she wanted to be independent. She was aware that independence and financial independence was so
very important.
So she took her learning, she took her wisdom, and she applied it. And she applied
it. And it was hard as well. She kind of struggled to be able to be where she is now.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy either.
No, she failed. She failed on her first year exams and didn't get the grade she needed. But she didn't give up. And that was the important thing. You know, she had made a decision and she was going to do what it took. And if it took doing exams three or four times.
Yes.
But she'd been taught this lovely thing. Do you remember? Nina said she gave her daughter something like three things a day. She had to like tick three boxes a day. What are the three things you've accomplished today? And she had to tell her mother every day. What an amazing thing to do with your children. Everyone should do this. I think it's such a lovely idea. Because then Nina could say, oh, look, I rode my bike and I baked a cake and I brushed my teeth.
And I made my bed, and I and I clear out the service, you know, whatever it is, just three things, because that also gives you structure, gives you purpose, right? It gives you motivation and something to achieve, something to look forward to, which is really, really useful. All every kid should have that. And maybe not in that way that, because for example, in my case, is I won't be able, I'm not very structured in that way to give myself, my kids, you know, three things every day, but I do give them structure, trying to have them have their responsibilities in the house and then always have some kind of project or mission. They sometimes they want to buy a toy and I don't buy them, I don't buy it for them. I make them earn the money just because, and but the idea is that it's not hard work. I try to make it fun. So they relate making money to it being fun.
Yes.
And then accomplish something.
Yes.
You know, and they
that's a life lesson. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, well,
so it's a way that, you know, it can be that, you know, have them to do three things or any other way that you find that you can identify and actually keep doing.
Yes. I mean, to live a life you love, you've got to have the tools to take the actions, to have the mindset and take the actions on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And clearly, Celeste had been given those tools. She'd observed from her mother, and her mother training had given her good systems with her three things and accomplishment. But but I thought it was so actually, brilliant.
Yeah. And actually, you know, remember that part where Celeste saved her mother's life, her mother and her brother's life?
Yes. Which was quite young. I mean, which is incredible. I mean, that was so amazing that she could do that. So this young woman who has taken on so much responsibility, but what I love was her wisdom for her recognition again, like her mother's lesson was to learn to love herself. And Celeste seems to have understood that from an earlier age because of watching her mother's learning of that. Mm-hmm. And she had this, which was training to be a dentist, a system of self-rewards for herself. So I said, how did you manage to study when everything else was going crazy around you? And she said she would focus and then she'd reward herself with something to eat or like something nice to do. And, you know, it was a training system for herself that she set for herself, which is
And it all, and it, that one came from the three things that they need to check on the box. Because, for example, she would say, okay, so what are the three things that I need to do today? Oh, I need to finish this paper. I need to do this practice and I need to read this book. All right. So, but when will I do it? Okay. So I have time to do something for me, like watch a movie, go out with my girlfriends. So, and then, but I have to finish these three things.
Yeah. So again, it's like, so she was taught the systems of success by her mother, by watching her mother pull herself out of her life the way she did, which is so incredible. She did say that she inherited her mother's drive, which again, now this I have to say in every podcast, everyone we speak to who is living a life they love, they have drive. They are again those people who are looking for answers. They're the people that have a glimpse of hope. I mean, some of them have a lot of hope, some of them have strong, like, I can do this, but even if they don't, they had some hope, because that you've got to start with possibility. You can't start with zero possibility. You have to have some possibility that you can then grow. And they all have, and then they all tend to act on that little bit of hope and possibility. And they've all had that in common. Yeah. And let me see. And so, I love this. Celeste's word was, I'm practicing success. So she practiced success. And isn't that a lovely idea? So, you know, again, just doing little things. Again, like the achievements, you're practicing being successful. So you create in yourself a habit of being successful. And she's like 28, 29, and she's a fully qualified dentist. And, you know,
which 27, I think. Yeah.
Her destiny, she's like, that's what I'm going to do. I want to work with people, but I want to be a professional. I mean, it's such a lovely story. And lastly, I think I want to finish up with the idea that both of them have made the message clear that pain is unavoidable, suffering is a choice. And I think that you brought that up. I've stolen your words.
It's a statement. It's a wonderful statement that I don't remember It says statement that I don't remember what I got, so I can't quote the author.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for that. But this is the perfect example of pain is unavoidable. So life will always throw you a curveball, but then you can choose what you're going to react, how you're going to react to that situation, right? Yeah. You can handle the pain, but then suffering will lead you, take you away from the road, mm-hmm. right? And you might even find yourself attached to this hardship. But if you are able to just confront the pain, you know, take away the suffering and just confront the pain, you mm-hmm. have to push through. You will be able to push through because the pain does go away. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, you overcome pain, and if you were have an injury or if you lose someone, with time you overcome the pain. But mm-hmm. suffering is something that sticks. The sticks, and it's always there in your head. Mm-hmm. And then you become a prisoner because since it's not something tangible that you can actually take away or maybe cut your hair, you know, or maybe change clothes, it's something that is stuck in your head.
Yeah.
And it can become a prison.
Yeah. And both these ladies transformed, they worked their way through their pain. They dealt with it. They chose to find a way through the suffering. They chose to find a way to celebrate their life. They chose how to love themselves. And what an incredible duo. And what an honor it was to work with them on Monday. It's such a pleasure.
Yeah.
Any last things? Or are we've covered everything now on
that? No, I think we've covered everything. Wonderful experience to have such a close encounter with the person that's made this amazing journey. You know, it's really, really amazing. Not everybody's able to do it. And as you said, most of our guests have this natural drive. And I always want to make sure that people understand that you still can learn it. You still can find a way. If you don't have it naturally, because, you know, as I said, millions of times, I didn't either. I was that person that worked always with that gray cloud over my head. I just did the process of starting to change the way I talk to myself and become my biggest cheerleader. And I still do it now because, you know, you do the work and then you grow, but there's something else that always happens because growth never finishes. So then you transform and you transform and you transform, and then you find yourself with that drive. And the funny thing is that you don't allow just yourself to go back. So you build that drive also. You can learn it.
Yes. And everything in life can be learned, and actually sometimes the people that have to learn it, they're not a natural, end up being better. That's very true in sport. Sometimes people who don't have a natural ability and they have to work really, really hard at it end up being better with the people who are naturally clever, but maybe just like because it's so easy for them, a little bit lazier because they don't have to try so hard, and the person who's less talented but tries harder wins. So there you go. So there's no limitations on us, regardless.
Most of the time, overcome, or what's this word? Discipline will surpass talent in most of the time.
Yes, it will.
So you might be talented, but if you're not disciplined and you don't have a good work ethic, your result will be minimal.
Exactly. And on that note, we shall love and leave you all. We so appreciate you for joining us as yet. And next week, we will have another guest for you, and we will be chatting to them on Monday. And then we'll be doing our follow-up on Thursday. So don't forget to subscribe wherever you watch your podcast, iTunes or Google Play or whatever, Gira, I think the one is in India. I forget what name that most people listen to there. But like, we're on about 18 different channels. Wherever you listen to your podcast, do you enjoy it there?
Yes.
And come find us. Our email is in the show notes. You can find out how to contact us. If you have any questions.
If you want to be part of the show as well, today we actually had a session of someone that reached out for us, and it was wonderful just to be able to help other people.
So if you'd like to come on with a coaching session, and if you'd like us to be able to record it and use it in a podcast, we'd love that even more, but we don't have to.
It's still a private space.
You want to have something completely confidential, that's fine, but if you want to come on and have us work with you, we would love to do that so we could make a podcast out of it. So we'd love to hear from you. How are you thinking? How are we doing so far? Who would you like to have on? What do you want to hear? Give us feedback. You know, who are the people you want to hear from? What kind of stories do you like the best? You know, what,
or maybe a key principle that you don't really quite understand, but really think it, you know, it rings to you, but you don't really quite understand. We would love to hear that as well.
Yeah. Okay, so get in touch with us, guys. We want to hear from you. And we'll see you guys next week. And in the meantime, remember to live a life you love. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Dream Team podcast. You can catch Lisa and Marissa every Monday and Thursday. Don't forget to subscribe and review. And dream on.